This is Ozarks at Large. The Ozark Poets and Writers Collective will welcome writer Tom Andes to Northwest Arkansas tomorrow night. He'll be reading at 7 at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. Tom is a former Fayetteville resident, and he now lives in New Orleans. One of his short stories has just been accepted to be included in the 2012 edition of America's Best Mystery Writing. Last week, I called Tom Andes and asked him about that story and about how he prepares for a reading.
I guess a lot of times when I read, like, I won't wing it, but, like, I'll wait. I'll usually try to bring something, like, relatively current or something that, like, is kind of, like, that I'm working on that's still kind of, like, with me. I have a story I published online in the spring that I actually really like reading in front of an audience because I've read it a few times and, like, I've gotten to sort of know, like, its little soft spots and, like, the little moments that I can pause. But I read that the last time I was in Fayetteville to read. So I'm actually probably going to read, something actually that was sort of an unexpected, I'd put away for a while, and I just sort of gave it to some friends to read this summer and got some positive feedback about it, and it's probably just about the right length. One of the dilemmas I always have when I'm asked to read is, like, if you're reading fiction, you know, like, how to fit. If the story takes 15 minutes to read, that's great. If it's like a 20-page story, it's hard to cram it in, you know, to whatever sort of time frame you're allotted. So that's always sort of a dilemma, is whether I'm going to excerpt something or read something that I can read in its entirety. But I'm actually kind of still making up my mind about that. I try to read something that's just kind of like, I feel like something that's like current and something that's kind of like with me that I sort of feel good about, you know, that I can read in front of an audience as opposed to something that's like older. It's like I'll kind of try to do when somebody asks me to read.
Do you read before the first time you read something in front of an audience, will you read it for yourself out loud?
I guess it depends. I mean, I will actually sometimes when I'm working on something, I will sometimes read it out loud to myself to kind of get a sense of where, you know, what words can go and what words I can sort of chip out of something. So a lot of the stuff I have, like if it's pretty far along, as sort of part of the way like I work sometimes, I will have read it out loud to myself. But if I read it out loud to myself, I will usually do it to time it. Like to see, you know, if somebody says you have 15 minutes, I'll sit down with a couple things and sort of see what fits best into that time frame and kind of get a sense. I think I tend to talk very fast. And I'm aware of, like, changing my pacing when I read in front of people. So that kind of factors into the way I think about that stuff, too.
I don't imagine when you're writing, you're thinking about how this will sound out loud.
No, you don't. I mean, I guess not. God, that's actually a good question. I mean, I don't. But there's definitely something to, like, I mean, it's funny. Like, it looks one way on a word processor screen. It looks another way when you print it off. And then it sounds another way when you sort of read it. And I think so. No, I mean, I don't think about it when I'm, but there is, I think there's an extent to which even if you, like, if, you know, if you were to open a book now, you read something, you do hear it in a way. And so, like, it isn't usually like, if I'm like kind of at any initial stages of writing something, I don't usually think about how it sounds, but it's more kind of as something develops, if something is like kind of starting to come along and I'm starting to kind of revise it and develop it. That's kind of the point at which I'll start to read it out loud to myself because it gives me sort of a sense of like just the way it sounds. And again, sort of a sense of like what words I can take out, you know, like often, I don't know if other people do this, but I sort of often find myself saying the same thing twice, you know, and I can hear that better sometimes than I can read it, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. Do you, I mean, obviously there are some things you write that will never be read aloud.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Go ahead, is there more of that question?
Well, yeah, I mean, so is a piece of fiction that you would write that sounds better out loud than one that doesn't, are they two different types of writing, or it's just that one sounds better orally than the other?
I wouldn't say they're two different types, but yeah, I mean, I guess there's like kind of a spectrum of how those, I mean, yeah, there's certain things, it's funny, there are certain things that seem to work really well when reading them in front of a crowd. But I mean, I think like if you go hear people, you know, there's like, it can be the most wonderful thing when you like go to a reading and you hear somebody read. And they have, there's that moment in the story where like everybody in the bar, or everybody in the bookstore, or everybody in wherever the venue is like kind of holding, you know, their collective breath while something happens. And like, I think that's actually a really nice moment. And I think that moment often, you know, I think there is actually really a connection between sort of like oral stories and written stories, because I think that those moments often translate really, really well to the page. But I mean, yeah, there's certain things, you know, if you're writing sort of in a more, I think a more stream of consciousness style, like I imagine Proust is, you know, one experience to hear out loud, and, you know, Hemingway an entirely different experience to hear out loud or something like that. So I think they're, you know, they're, I would say like maybe not different types of stories, but certainly like, you know, certainly there's a spectrum of the way you hear something and the way you experience something. But I mean, I find that like I really enjoy that. I really enjoy that aspect of like my stuff, and it's always really kind of revealing to me. It's often really revealing to me if there's something I've been working on for a while, you know, where it's pretty far along, to read it in front of people, because you can kind of sense, you know, when their attention strays, and you can also kind of sense sometimes when they are like holding on to what they're hearing. And I think you can sense, you know, if they laugh, you know, there are moments sometimes where like, I'm not sure if there are people are going to get the joke. And then when they laugh, I'm like, oh, they get the joke. They're kind of with me on this. And that's always like, I mean, that's always it's just a nice moment, I think, as a writer. And it's always reassuring.
Would you ever change something on the written page based on how it might, especially if it's something current or maybe not completely finished or polished? Would you ever change something on the written page based on how it was received when you read it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I think reading something out loud can definitely kind of teach you, you know, I mean, and it's funny, you know, I've done like workshops where I did like kind of a residency this summer where we would sort of bring our work to these workshop sessions, and mostly we'd read it out loud instead of having it to read beforehand. And, you know, I could hear sometimes, you know, and obviously this is a different context than a reading, but I could actually hear sometimes where I'd be like, oh, like, I totally don't need that sentence right there, you know? And so, like, I think the act of, which is what I, you know, that's the sort of the sense I try to duplicate, you know, when I'm sitting, like, by myself reading something off the page out loud to myself, or, you know, in front of and I think the same thing can happen, you know, in front of a bookstore or whatever, you know, where you read, you sort of get a different sense of something, you know, and you can sort of feel like, oh, like maybe they, you know, you can tell maybe they already got that. So it's redundant for me to kind of go on for that one additional sentence, you know, the last sentence of the paragraph, say, or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I think it can actually kind of teach you a little bit about your stories. And I think I've definitely responded to that when I've sensed that, you know, in a number of different contexts, reading out loud.
You have a short story called The Hit that's going to be included in the Best American Mystery Writing of 2012. Is that correct?
Yes, that is. That is.
I mean, that's quite an honor.
It's probably the most amazing thing that has happened to me so far in my career, and something that I feel was kind of completely serendipitous and not something that I saw coming at all. It was really, and it's a funny, I mean, the whole evolution of that story is really interesting. It's set in San Francisco. It's one of the few stories I've ever set in San Francisco. And I wrote it when I moved there in 2001. And I tried to make it into a novel. I wrote like 80 or 100 pages of backstory for one of the main characters that never went anywhere. And I put it away and I kind of given up on it for 8 or 9 years. And then took it out of an envelope sort of on a whim at a residency a couple of years ago and basically realized that all I had to do to kind of make it work was take the first 5 pages off, and then it would probably work if I, you know, with some editing and some more kind of like light revision. It's pretty amazing to, you know, it's amazing. I feel myself sort of, I'm still a little stunned by the fact that they took that, and I'm really happy that they took it. And I think it goes to show you, you know, like that's a piece I've given up on. You know, I'd given up on that piece kind of like time and again. So it gives me like sort of a sense that sometimes I think you just sort of have to have faith in your own, you know, in your own forward motion and letting things get out there. And I should also say too that I almost the editor of the magazine where it appeared, Xavier Review, is a friend of mine, Ralph Adamo, and it was sort of serendipitous that he took it for that magazine and then sort of forwarded it along to the people to look at it for that anthology. So I'm very grateful to him for doing that, too.
And, you know, Daniel Woodrell has a story in there, Charles Todd. So this is, and it comes out every October. So people can look for that in just a couple of months.
Yeah, it'll be out. It's intimidating when they accepted it and they asked for like a bio and like a little paragraph about the story, and like they send you samples of like the previous year's contributors, and it was like, I think like James Lee Burke, like they sent me people who I've like read and admired for years, and I was like, it just feels weird to be like sending something. But I mean, you know, again, it's sort of like, it's a beautiful thing. And I think the funny thing with writing, you know, is that you just throw stuff out there in the world and you don't know where it's going to end up. And so when it ends up someplace like that, it's amazing, you know? But you just sort of have to keep putting things out there in the world, and, you know, and then like, that's an amazing thing to have happen. And I think like, I felt really emboldened after I found out about that. So I sent like a bunch of stories, like 100 places, and got them all turned down. I mean, it's, you know, you just sort of keep doing it on a daily basis. But yeah, definitely something like that is really, I don't know. It's pretty amazing company, definitely. So I was thrilled. And I think some other Arkansas people have been in there too. I know a couple of people who have, I think, maybe even gone to the MFA program at the U of A, have been in there in recent years.
Michael Downs, who earned an MFA here some time ago, he was in maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay, yeah. And I think, I think Nick Pizzolatto, who went there.
Yes, a few people. Yes. Nick was
there. There's a handful.
Yes.
And I think it's actually funny too, because I got, my friend Ralph publishes Xavier Review, which is the magazine that I had a story in, and then the New Orleans Review. There's also a story from the New Orleans Review that's going to be in there this year, so that's kind of exciting. Like two of the New Orleans literary magazines are both going to have stories in that magazine, in that anthology this year, so that's pretty exciting too.
Tom Andes will read his work tomorrow night at 7 at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. He'll be the guest of the Ozark Poets and Writers Collective. I talked with him last week from his home in New Orleans.